There's so much to talk about. I'm sure that you've already heard so much about David Hamel. We could talk about him as the passionate author of Tehillim, as the great Baal Bitachon, the person who relied so closely on Hashem that every single move he made on the battlefield or otherwise was so inextricably connected to Hashem and his guidance from Hashem, his words to Hashem. People who recite Tehillim are living those battles and those moments. David HaMelech as the warrior, David HaMelech as the husband that we just heard in the beautiful share from Leah Feinberg. Is this good? I don't know if here. Is the mic working this way? Okay. Okay, great. David HaMelech in all of his different roles. We're going to talk about specifically David HaMelech as the leader. As a leader, what was his vision of a leader? Did he measure up to his own vision? Was he a successful leader? And it's interesting to note that all of the Sfarim of Nevi'im Rishonim are named after the leaders. Not only that, but categorically so, as in Shoftim and Malachim. It seems to be as the message given over to us is the fate of the people during these eras was so connected, so deeply connected to the quality of the leaders and perhaps the specific genre of leaders, shoftim, judges, malachim, kings. And here David is called upon to come and to succeed where his predecessor, his only predecessor, the only one who ever filled that role and stepped into the shoes of the Jewish king, had failed. And so what I'm going to do now is we're going to talk about a few different incidences where we see David HaMelech as leader, and we're going to start with the story that's later on a little bit in his role, not when we meet him initially, and it's what we just learned together with Leah Feinberg. And we're going to look at that incident. And we're going to ask the question about who was right in their assessment of David as Melech. So my apologies, but we're going to start with the second page of sources that you've got here. And we're all now familiar with the incident between David and Michal on that fateful day that David comes to Yerushalayim and he says it's time to bring the Aron back to Yerushalayim. This is, of course, the second attempt. The first attempt failed. The first time that David HaMelech tried to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim, which also really marks his the beginning of David as a monarch in Yerushalayim, failed. They put it on a wagon, and Uzzah, the son of the person who had hosted the Aron for all this time, I see everybody is nodding with me because we all learned together or learned separately and together, right? And Vayitmotzetzua Bakar, right? The animals that were pulling the wagon falter. And what would any of us have done? The Aron starts to slide. Uzzah sticks his hand out to prevent the Aron from falling. Hashem strikes him. He dies, turning this very joyous moment into tragedy. So here we have the second attempt, same perek. So there's this continuity. David HaMelech picks himself up a few months later, tries it again, and this is what we're at. And he's very joyous because he's learned from his mistakes. And we are in Shmuel Bet Vav on the second page. So they go six steps, and then he brings karbanot. V'David mecharker b'chol oz lifnei Hashem. And David is dancing, I would say, not in wild abandon, and that is because it says b'chol oz. There's something focused here. It's with all his strength. He is, if anything, not distracted. It's not an unbridled kind of joy, but it's b'chol oz. There's an enormous amount of focus and strength going on here, and he is dancing, kicking up his feet. V'David chagur ephod bad. We'll get back to his clothing soon. V'David b'chol beit Yisrael ma'alim et Aron Hashem b'tshura v'kol shofar. Imagine, you know, the most exciting parade you've ever seen, along with the kol tshura, the music, the psukim that you don't have here from the first attempt. We have a list of the instruments, and there's this joyous parade going on. Vayaron Hashem ba'ir David u'michal bat Shaul nishkefa be'at ha'chalom. So she's watching, and we get this introduction. We don't dive right into hearing what Michal says or even what Michal thinks. We have this kind of setup here where we're told by the way she's watching. It's almost a statement that we're going to receive a judgment. She's looking out the window. We're going to hear what her perspective is as she looks and she peers through that window. V'tariyat ha-melech David mefazez u'mecharker lefnei Hashem v'tivez lo biliba. He becomes disgraceful to her in her heart. She's very disappointed. She's not only disappointed, but her perception shifts. V'tivez lo biliba. V'yaviu et Aron Hashem v'yatzigu oto b'mkomo b'toch ha-oel asher natal lo David. They bring it into the tent intended for it. V'yal David Olot lefnei Hashem u'shlamim. He brings karbanot. We'll get back to this also. All very interesting points to keep in mind in the description of the return of the Aron. V'yechalek l'chol ha'am l'chol hamon Yisrael l'mi'ish v'adisha l'ish chalat l'chem achat v'esh parachat v'ashisha achat v'yelech kol ha'am ish l'veito. He distributes a whole meal to everybody. Bread, wine, meat to everybody. Here we have this leader, this nurturing leader, giving out food to all of the guests. Vayashav David levarich et beito. He goes back very properly, doesn't forget his own home, goes back to his home. Vatetzei Michal bat Shaul likrat David. She runs out immediately. Not welcome, not wow. You made it this time with the Aron. Here we are with the Aron. We're all set for the Melucha. You're in Yerushalayim. The Aron's in Yerushalayim. And by the way, no. She gets straight to the point here. Batomer manechbad hayom melech Yisrael asher nigla hayom leinei amhot abadav ki galot niglot achad harekim. Sarcasm. How often do we see that in Tanakh? Right? Oh, how respectable was that here? How respectable is that? The way that you dance and you act like the maidservants here in Am Yisrael. So this is a very dramatic and sharp interchange that we have between them. Vayomer David el Michal lefnei Hashem asher bachar bi me'avich. U'mikol beitol tzavot oti nagid al am Hashem al Yisrael v'sichati lefnei Hashem. You might think I'm dancing with the Amhot, and I am, but I'm dancing before Hashem, who parenthetically chose me over your father. So she says her piece. She says how she thinks, sees things from her perspective. And we get an incredible read on Michal's motivations and what is causing her to see David HaMelech through that lens today. Because David points out, he says, you're comparing me to someone. I'm not your father, but don't forget, Hashem has chosen me over your father. And we'll get back to that. Unikaloti od mizot veiti shafal beinai v'ima amahot asher amart imam ikabeta. And I would have become even less, even more lightweight, so to speak, even lighter than that, as long as I could be, or would I would be, if only I would be, diminished in my own eyes, low in my own eyes, and then I could be respected or respectable together with those maidservants, you know, parentheses, that you're so disturbed that I was dancing among. Of course, the Michal bat Shaul, lo hayala yeled ad yom mota. We don't need the Mefarshim to tell us why this pasuk is here out of nowhere, to tell us that as a result of her words and her perspective, she has no more children until, Chazal say, until the day she dies in childbirth, okay? So the truth is, who's right? You know, it's very easy to look back and know what Chazal said, but who is correct here? We know that Melch Shemochal Kvodo in Kvodo Machol. A king has no permission or right. It's interesting. A king who is so powerful lacks the power to dishonor himself or to diminish in any way his honor. We know it's halacha in Shulchan Aruch that a child is not meant to sit in the place of their father at a table. But a father could say, that's okay, you can sit here. A father's allowed to be mochel on his own kavod. A king does not have that power. It's almost the power that cannot be diminished by his own power. He cannot do that. So perhaps she's right. Maybe Michal has the right perspective here. You're Melch Yisrael. What are you doing? What are you doing? Maybe you could sit at the dais somewhere at this parade. Maybe you could let the common folk dance and you could smile nicely and get up and make a speech, you know, behind a microphone from a big dais at the parade. Maybe you could sit there in your big day malchut, which he's not wearing, and your crown and smile and have servants go as a go-between between you and the common folk. Maybe she's right. We know that a Melch Yisrael has all kinds of rights that empower him to kill people for being Mori B'malchut, which is not what it sounds like. A simple, we know from Uriah, from the incident with Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, that a very simple act of disobedience can earn somebody capital punishment if he disobeys the king. Maybe Michal's right. And what is Deva trying to say here? This is really only about me and Dad. This is about two different ways of doing things. There's Dad and there's me. And you're mistaken because my way is right and Shaul, your father's way is wrong. So right here before us, because we have it coming into focus so clearly, so sharply, this question of what is the right perspective? What would make him a worthy leader? Is he living up to the title of Melech B'Yisrael? Is he meant to be behaving like he's behaving or like Michal assumes he should behave? And even if we know that he's exonerated at the end, why? And how could this make us understand what a leader is supposed to be, and more importantly, what David HaMelech's vision of himself in the role of leader is going to be. So that's really by way of introduction, because that's what that's where we're going to go. We're going to head towards an answer to that question of what is the vision of the Melech that David has, and does he live up to that vision, and is it correct? Okay. We start out with David HaMelech, of course, in the battle between himself and Goliath, but we're not going to discuss the battle itself, but rather, if you go back to the first page, we're introduced to David HaMelech. We hear about his family. V'David ben Ish Efrati, hazem mi-Beit Lechem, Yehuda u'shmo Yishai, v'lo shmona banim, v'ish b'mei Sha'ul zakein baba anashim. Yishai, his father, sends three sons out to war. These three brothers of David go out. David is small, literally. We can take that to mean young, but it says small. So he's going back and forth. He's going to see what's going on at the war camp, and he's going back to take care of the sheep. Shepherd, staff in hand, goes to see what's going on in the field. Hangs out there a little bit to catch up on what the events of the day were. Goes back to tend to father's sheep. Standing there threateningly for 40 days. Go to your brothers at the war camp and bring them food, right? He's sending his sons, the soldiers, food to the army base. Go. Go bring the food. And while you're going anyway, give the Sar Ha'elef, the sergeant, the head of the army, give him food. Much has been said about the Arubatam, which we're not going to discuss right now. Perhaps it was the Gittin that they gave their wives before they went out. Go check it out. Make sure they're okay and give them food. Very interesting. Rav Mordechai Breuer, in his Sefer, points out that we meet David HaMelech in this combination role, even as he's being sent to the war front, and we know that he will be the warrior who takes care of the problem called Goliath, he goes with staff in hand. He's going as a shepherd because we're being introduced to him as a leader, as we know leaders before him, as we know Moshe Rabbeinu came out from amidst the herds, shepherding the tzon, and Moshe Rabbeinu himself later on, when he's already Manhig of Am Yisrael, uses that expression. That's his image in his mind of the leader when he says to Hashem, right? You're not going to leave them, Kitzon, Sharein Lahem Roeh. You'll never leave Am Yisrael, please, as a sheep without a shepherd. That's always the image of the Jewish leader. It's very interesting because it's less dictator and much more nurturing, right? He's taking care of the sheep. So Reb Breuer points out that he comes literally staff in hand to the battle front. And that's how we meet David. And Reb Breuer says more than that, he says that it's this act of nurturing, right? He didn't just go to Aruba Tantikach, take their whatever that was, whether it was Gittin or something else, and go see how they're doing. But he took the food, that because he provided for them, that's what initiated him into the role of monarch, of the first step towards being the one who's meant to lead Yisrael. So here he is. We see him as this nurturing provider at the beginning of his path to leadership. I actually switched the order deliberately, but I'm going to switch it back. I'm sorry. You have Chaf Bet. Thematically, it works in this order, but we'll go in chronological order. We have Chaf Bet Chaf Alf, and then a few psukim later, we have Chaf Bet Bet. So I'm going to go in chronological order, actually. We hear this is way later. This is David HaMelech is already on the run with Shaul in hot pursuit of him. And he has people who go along with him who help him. Who helps him? Per Chaf Bet. Vayitzkaptsu. Elav, kol ish matzok, v'chol ish asher lo nosha, v'chol ish mar nefesh, v'hi aleihem l'sar, v'yu imok arba meot ish. 400 men join him. What is the description we get of these people? Well, they vary. There's kol ish matzok. So matzok, we have, the Mefarshim tell us that matzok perhaps is somebody who, well, literally somebody in distress. Mizudat Zion says somebody who is in distress because of an external enemy. There's somebody who is oppressing him, who's causing him problems in life. A noshe, somebody who is in debt. The Radak says they had to run away because these people were in debt. Or perhaps, as the Malbim says, matzok is an inner kind of a tsar, somebody who is very troubled inside themselves, while somebody who is lo noshe has somebody who's oppressing him from the outside. And somebody who's mar nefesh, the Malbim says, is somebody who's bal kas v'chima. He's angry with life. He's upset. He's disturbed. And Malbim goes on to say, and therefore, he doesn't mind so much risking his life on the battlefield. His life perhaps is worth a little bit less to him. So we have, this is not the cream of the crop of society. But more than it not being the cream of the crop, sometimes you have, you know, unfortunately, you could have people who are let down by society, but they band together and they all, you know, they're all in it together. This is kind of a group we keep hearing about, different categories of people with different issues. So it's this hodgepodge of different people with different troubles in their lives. They're banding together and they're going to go and support and help David HaMelech. These are the folks that he takes with him. And we're going to digress from them for a moment. And we're going to see, I think, an instance of leadership on the part of David HaMelech. And this is that horrible, painful perek where he goes and he's fed by Novi Erachonim. Not that that part is painful, but of course that he's, Shaul is going to have them killed, the 85 Kohanim in Nov. And David HaMelech realizes at this point, these psukim that we have here at the end of Perek Chaf Bet, what ensued because of his actions. Of course, he just needed food, but he hears about what happened. Vayaged Chaf Bet Chaf Aleph, Vayaged Avyatar leDavid ki harag Shaul et Kohanei Hashem. Vayomer David leAvyatar, here's what he didn't say. He didn't say, I knew that Shaul good for nothing is an evil person. He didn't say that. Yadati bayomahu kisham doeg ha'adomi. I knew doeg was there. Kaged yagid Shaul. Anochi saboti bechol nefesh beis avicha. I am the cause. Very interesting. Siba is the reason and the cause in Hebrew, which, you know, really means the same thing, right? Anochi saboti. I'm the reason. I'm the cause. I was the one who caused all of those 85 Kohanim to be killed. That's an incredible, I think, coming face to face with the truth. An incredible amount of taking responsibility for what he did. Of course, we would call this, you know, if it was Hilchot Shabbos, a grama of a grama, right? He caused something that depended on a lot of ill-willed evil people, you know, in the middle of this chain of events. But ultimately, he takes responsibility. If only I would have realized that Doeg was there, I should have thought, could have thought. I'm not sure he even could have foreseen what could happen. But he takes responsibility, right? The act of a true leader. And he doesn't just take responsibility theoretically and know he's responsible, but he says to Aviatar, Shva iti al tira, kesher yivakeshas nafshi, yivakeshas nafshacha, ki mishmeret atah imadi. Somebody wants to harm you, it's like harming me. You are with me. You are my mishmeret. I am forevermore taking responsibility for you, Aviatar. He takes that responsibility. Now we're going to go back. We're going to return to Perek Chav Gimel and our 400 men. But our 400 men have already evolved into 600 men. Okay, so a little bit of background here. The background, the truth is in the Pesukim, but it's one of the times, probably the most dramatic time, that Shaul is pursuing David HaMelech, because we have this incredible, poignant conversation that follows, maybe we'll read it, where Shaul hears about David's whereabouts, and he goes to Ein Gedi, and Shaul's people tell him, that's it, you can get David HaMelech. But what actually happens in a turn of events at Ein Gedi is Shaul goes into one of the caves there to take care of his needs and to go to the bathroom, and he's unguarded, because he's very tsanua, he doesn't take even guards with him. He's unguarded. David's 600 men realize. They say, David, it's your moment. You haven't been able to live. You don't have a home because you've been running around the country, escaping by a hair's breadth all of Shaul's attempts to assassinate you. This is it. This is it. You can have peace. Here's your moment. Chav Gimel Yud Gimel Ve'yakam David Vanashav Kishesh Me'ot Ish Ve'yitzu Mikila Ve'yitachu Ba'asher Yitalachu. Ushaul who God can let David Mikila Bechtalatseit. By Yomru Anche David Elav. Hine Hai Yom. This is the day. This is your day. Asher Amar Shemelecha. Hine Anochinotenet Oivecha Biadecha. Not only that, they're very religious. They say, God told you about this. This is the moment. What else could God have meant other than this being the moment? Hashem told you, I'm going to place your enemy in your hand. Vasita lo kasher itav beinecha, do whatever you see fit with him. Vayakam David, vayichrot et knaf ha-mi'il asher l'Shaul balat. He quietly tears off, of course, the corner of Shaul's beged in a very significant and symbolic move. The reason I put the next pasuk in parentheses is because the mafarshim actually say that it is out of order. Whenever it was that it actually happened, David's heart strikes him. His conscience doesn't let him get away with this act. And he says to his people, the Mefarshim put it before the people, his 600 people tell him to go and do to Shaul as he pleases. He says to his people, Chalila li me Hashem im aset hadavar hazeh ladoni l'mashiach Hashem l'shloach yadi bo ki mashiach Hashem hu. Chas v'shalom, God forbid, could I ever lift a hand to he who Hashem has anointed. He repeats that, right? Because he's the anointed one of Hashem. Listen to the words. Vayishasa David et anashav. He splits them, badzvarim, with his words. Vilo netanam lakom, and he doesn't allow them to rise up against Shaul. Shaul v'Shaul kameh amara vayelech badarach. Mepharshim also point out that he waited. He's going to speak to Shaul, of course, but he waited because he wanted Shaul to gain a little distance because he didn't want his people to do anything that he didn't want them to. But this is fascinating because we hear his exact words, right? I can never do that. I can never lift a hand to the anointed one of Hashem. But then the Navi gives us the commentary about what he did. Vayishasa David et anashav badvarim. Very important, badvarim. Thinks that Radaku points out that it's a definite article, not with words, but with the words. Radak says the words with which he split them were the words we just heard. Never can I send my hands against the anointed one of Hashem. So whether it's those words or he finds other strategic words to split them, what could that possibly mean, Vayishasa? So Rashi says, Hivdil v'dachak bidvarav. He actually split them up and pushed them away. Perhaps he caused a conflict within this group of 600 men. And we all know what happens when people who were previously banded together, right, heading towards one goal, are now spending their energy arguing with each other. Or the Malbim points out that he might have split them up internally, meaning within themselves, they now had inner conflict, right? We wanted to kill him. This is our master, our leader, David HaMelech. We've been protecting him. Who are we protecting him from? This is the one. Over. Done. Right? Take care of Shaul right away here. Wait a second. David's teaching us something, right? We said not the cream of the crop of society here. So this is fascinating. Because what we see here is David HaMelech as spiritual leader. Because David HaMelech certainly could just have Vayishasa badvarim, split them up, created conflict somehow, sown doubt, created a rift between the people alone. But he takes the time and he wants to guide them. And he says, this is not the way we're going to do it. And this is how we hear him speak to them later on as well. He sees his role as someone who's going to be able to uplift the people, who's going to be able to be the moral guide for the people. And that's how we meet these people with David HaMelech once again, afterwards. By the way, what ensues afterwards, that very poignant conversation with him and Shaul, we don't know whether his men hear about it or not. But I wonder, the way that it's depicted there, about whether they get to see their leader in that role where he's actually doing what he's doing. Because we know that there's nothing that personifies David HaMelech with his perpetual Ayin Tova, with his eye of being able to look at Shaul and everybody, I don't want to say through rose-colored glasses, but through from a positive perspective, like that conversation where he says to Shaul, it's so almost sweet and innocent. Right? Who are you chasing after? A dead dog? And why do you want to hurt me? And he actually wants to confront him. Not enough to just leave him alone. And he talks to him, of course. And then Shaul says to him, Habeniza ta, are you my son? Where David kind of induces Shaul back into that place of seeing him in somewhat of an endearing light. And this beautiful conversation that happens where we see that he's not just the moral guide who gets up with all this rhetoric and says, no, I would never do that. Chas v'shalom, we don't do that to the anointed one. But I wonder if they got to hear him where it's so real and sincere vis-a-vis Shaul afterwards. Later on, he's with the people and in a repetitive pattern that we see throughout Shmuel, Shaul hears and he's told again where David is. And Shaul goes to chase after him. David runs away. They get to a point in Perek Lamed where David is in Siklag and the Amaleki come and they take Bishevi, they take as captive the wives of even David and his people. And Amalek takes them, burns down the city of Siklag. David has to go and fight and free the captives, among them his wives. Now he makes a decision, for whatever reason, to split the people He brings with him 400, leaves 200 behind as he crosses Nahal Basor. Only 400 out of the 600 go with him. Mefarshim say, either because he needed them to watch the Kalim, here they are laden with lots of equipment and food and war supplies and everything else that they needed, or because actually perhaps these 200 people, their wives were not taken into captive and maybe they were less motivated, and maybe David HaMelech only wanted the people who were super motivated. And he goes, he's successful. There's lots of spoil, lots of shalal as a result of this battle. And he returns with the booty, and let's see what happens. Parak Lamed on the bottom. Vayelech David hu v'sheish meot isha sharito vayavo ad nachal habesor v'hanotarim amadu. Vayerdof David hu v'arba meot ish vayamdu matayim ish asher pigru meavor et nachal habesor. They literally means delayed, but they stopped at nachal habesor. These 200 people. Vayikach David et kol hatzon v'habakar nagu lifnei ha'mikneh. This is later on. We skip the battle. Ahuva Yomru Zesh Sal David comes back with all of the animals and all of the rest of the booty from the war. And everybody says, oh, this is David HaMelech's booty. Notice they don't say it's ours at this point. They say, this is David's. Vayavo David El Matayim Hanashim. Now there's 200 people waiting, anticipating the return of the warriors. Asher pigru min lechad achrei David, vayishivum banachal habesor, the ones he left there, nachal habesor, vayitzu lekrat David, they go out to greet David, lekrat ha'am asher ito, and to greet all of the people with him, vayigash David et ha'am, vayishal lahem l'shalom, he goes, he says, how are you, vayan kol ish ra, every bad person, every belial, right, the description for the lowest of the low in Nach, every person, you know, who is low in society here, those among them, Mehan Hashem, who are Ram B'liya'el, respond to him, who, Asher Halchuim David, the ones who went with him, respond, Vayomru, Yan Asher Lo Halchuimi, Lo Nitan Lehem Mehashalal, Asher Itzalnu, Kim Ish Et Ishto, Tepanav, Ve'inagu Vayilechu. They didn't come with us, they're not getting it, right? It's not fair. I remember when one of my kids was younger, what was the point of getting the ice cream prize? Because the rest of the class got it also, right? We went, we thought the booty's ours. You're not sharing it with the 200 people. No way. Okay, so again, it's very easy to lead people of a high caliber. This is indicative of the sort of people that David HaMelech is hanging out with. And these are the few conversations where we see the glimpses into his leadership skill and abilities. But he's with them on a daily basis throughout all this time that Shaul is pursuing him. What does David say? Now, David has the weapons in his hands and he has lots of soldiers with him. So he could really do what he wants to do without explanation. Top of the next page, Vayomer David, Lo tasuche nachai. Don't do that. Endearing, addresses them endearingly. Achai. It's asher natan Hashem lanu. Vayishmor otanu. I'm sorry, do you not have it divided the way I have it divided?
Yeah, still on the bottom.
Okay, Chaf Gemal, my apologies. My brothers, don't do that. This is what Hashem gave us. And Hashem watched over us. He's the one who procured all this booty for us. He's the one who made us survive this battle and made us victorious. Gave the soldiers, the battalion who were fighting with us, he handed them over into our hands. Whoever heard of such a thing? Those who go out to battle and those who sit watching the equipment, they're together. Everybody shares the booty together. Is he successful? Well, listen to this. David's policy becomes policy for the army until this day. Definitely until this day in the Navi, right? We're in it together. There are different jobs and contributions people make to the battle. No matter your contribution, you share in the victory, you share in the reward, you share in the booty. So again, he takes this role as a mentor, where he's teaching them right from wrong. So easy with all of this war going on and weapons and battling to use his might to do what he wants, to use his might in order to enact his will and make sure that what he wants is what is carried out. But he is the mentor here. He's the guide. And how talented and successful does one have to be in order to be the mentor of this crowd? Okay. And now I want to return to our conflict that we highlighted, where we see in sharp focus in front of us two different approaches to the monarchy. Okay? We're told, Shmuel Bet Vav Pasuk Yedalad, when David HaMelech is dancing, he is wearing an ephod. What does the ephod bring to mind?
Kohanim.
He is wearing the ephod. And what does he do after a few steps? Previous pasuk. He brings karbanot. And then there's the truah. And then there's the interruption of Michal, watching from the window, making her judgment. And then in Pasuk Yitzayin, Vayaviu et Aron Hashem v'yatzigo otob m'kamo, it's in its destination, at its destination, b'toch ha'o'el asher natal lo David, v'yal David olot, l'fnei Hashem u'shtamim. And he brings all of these karbanot. And then what does he do? Yurchat, v'yichal dev me'alot ha'olah, v'ashlamim v'yivarech et ha'am, b'shem Hashem tzvakot. Okay? So my father actually pointed out, my father, Rav Yaakov Moshe Pupko, pointed out that he is acting today, not as a monarch, but he is acting as a Kohen. He's wearing an ephod, he's bringing karbanot, and he's blessing the people. And if we had any doubt, you have the pasuk from Vayikra. On the day of the Chanukah HaMishkan, two sources below, Vayikra tet chafbed, vayisa aharon et yadav el ha'am, vayivarachim, vayirid me'asot ha'chatat va'olah v'ashlamim. On that day, when they initiate the Mishkan, the same ritual. I'm sorry. It says Vayikra. Let me give you a minute to find. Can somebody who sees it in your format say where it is? Today, David HaMelech is setting up the Aron, which is what makes the Mishkan the Mishkan. And on that very day of Chanukah HaMishkan, Aharon, HaKohen, comes. And it seems that David HaMelech is taking cues from Aharon, HaKohen. He's also bringing Karbanot and he's blessing the nation. He's assuming this role, and the Pasuk flips the order of Karbanot and Brachot, just the chronological order, but aside from that, there's incredible similarity. He's looking to Aharon as his guide. He's modeling himself not after a king here, but a Kohen, a spiritual leader of Am Yisrael. And that's how he sees himself on this day. When he hears Michal's words, he knows very well what she is saying to him, and where she gleans her perspective of what a monarch is meant to be. So immediately he gets to the point and he says, I'm not your father. There were two divergent paths. Shaul HaMelech enjoyed the first time ever that there was just separation of church and state. Am Yisrael said, Nasim Aleinu Melech Kechol HaGoyim, who's going to lead us, let's have a king like all the other nations, who's going to lead us in battle. We want a king like all the nations. Spirituality is very nice, but we want a political figure who will lead us in battle. And for the first time, we have separation of church and state, or Mishkan and state, as the case might be, with Shaul. David HaMelech, if this is really the time that, in a sense, he's assuming his role as monarch, as he ruled first in Hebron for 7 years, but now he's for all of the Am in Yerushalayim, and he brings, as the culmination of all that, or perhaps at the beginning of all that, he brings the Mishkan, because he's setting up the spiritual center of Am Yisrael. He is wearing an ephod, bringing karbanot, and blessing the nation. He sees himself as a spiritual leader. He doesn't forget for a second that he's the king, But to him, there is no separation of church and state. To him, a Melch B'Yisrael is at one moment Kohen, at one moment Melech. And so he assumes that role. Now, that's just one of the, and he could have worn, we could have heard of him wearing Keter. We said sitting at the dais, right? At the podium, on the throne, but he's not. He's amidst the people. So it seems like there are two different points here. One, he completely takes on the role of spiritual leader on this day. But there's a separate point that Micha makes. She says, and at the beginning we question whether she isn't correct, as we see this worn out in Halacha, that a king is meant to be a king. He is meant to be distinct from the nation. If he excuses someone for not honoring him and his position, that's inexcusable. Melcha mochal kvodo in kvodo machul. He's a king. Maybe she's correct. So there's that aspect here where she accuses him, and she says, Pasak chaf, manechbad hayom melch Yisrael shre negla hayom leine amhot avadav ki galot neglot achad harekim. Right? How honorable is it for you when you're revealing yourself the way the empty people in the nation do, right? Among the maidservants. And what does he respond after the part about her father? Nikaloti od mizot. I would lower myself more. Ve'iti shafel be'inai. Would it were I could be even lower in my own eyes. Ve'imam ahot asher mart imam ikabeda. And with those maidservants you mentioned, I'll be honored together with them. So this seems like a separate point. Are you among the nation, or are you a monarch? With all the pomp and circumstance, with all the division that the pomp and circumstance attempts to convey, the division, the great power, the great discrepancy, and the great space between a king and his kingdom. So at this point, I have a source that you did not have. My apologies. You actually have it. You actually have the beginning that I started typing out, but I had a little computer glitch, so I don't have for everybody. I'm just going to give a few out, and maybe you could share. This is just a Malbim that is important. Okay, so listen to what the Malbim says about this conversation. I'm sorry? Was there a call? There is going to be when they get service up and running. Yes. Sure. But this is the inauguration, and there's only David today. Okay, so actually you have the beginning of the Malbim at the end of your sources. He emphasizes Lefnei Hashem. He says, I'm dancing before Hashem. And the Malbim says, and because I'm dancing before Hashem, and let's pay attention to what in the world the word Lefnei Hashem, why is it that if I'm Lefnei Hashem, that it follows, Im kein ein kvodi talui me'et ha'am. If I am before Hashem, my honor is not dependent on the nations. Don't forget, and you have the pasuk right above the Malbim, what Shaul said when he was told that his malchut is coming to an end by Shmuel, and he begs Shmuel, and he says to him, Chatati, this is right above the Malbim, Ata kabdeni na neged zikneami. Please honor me neged. In front of, but more literally in Hebrew, opposite. Okay? Whereas David HaMelech says, I am im ha'ama'ahot. I am with the nation. So in the Malbim of Nashem ve'im kein, I'm not dependent on the nation. My honor doesn't depend on the nation. And the typical fanfare and signs of honor that they give nafochu. The opposite is true. Ze lo yakar ugdula. That is not honor. All of those, posturing and the giving of all of these, these rituals and these the distancing between the king and the nation. In Baharoto Shekvodo Atzmi Lo Bilti Talo Me'et Ha'am. He is demonstrating that his honor is not dependent on the nation. In B'masha Sichek Lifnei Hashem, Shehu Lo L'Tiferet. The fact that he's rejoicing before Hashem, that is what is his glory. Ki Mechabdav Yehu Badu. Those who honor Hashem will be honored. What has David just done? And the Malbim has pointed out, I'm going to be with them, Mesachek Im Ha'am, right? Im those Nafochu Mechubadav Yechubadu. Those who honor Hashem are honored. That's where I am just like the nation. Because if I'm not only a monarch, if I am a spiritual leader, that means that I am someone standing before God, serving God as the people are serving God. And the second someone is not a political leader and they're a spiritual leader in Am Yisrael, that means they too are serving Hashem. And all they're doing is helping everyone else serve in their own quest to be an Eved Hashem, in their own quest to facilitate the nation as Ovdei Hashem, as servants of Hashem. It's almost like the great equalizer. If we're all Lifnei Hashem, if all of our goal is the same, and I'm not at the top here of the hierarchy, but I'm also a servant to Hashem, that's why I'm amidst the nation. When I'm Lifnei Hashem, I'm one of them. Knows his role, knew how to be a leader with the people. He didn't forget for a moment and say to his gang of, you know, rabble rousers over there, he didn't say, yeah, let's go get shot, right? He knew who he was. He knew he was the leader, but when we're with Lifnei Hashem, and that's where these two points tie in, because we have on the one hand, him stepping down almost, I don't want to say down, I didn't mean down, stepping over from the seat of the monarchy to the seat of Kohen's spiritual leader on that day, and Michal's not happy about that. And on the other hand, we have him in this description where he's amidst the common folk, the maidservants even. What greater description could you have as someone as the common folk than the maidservants? But the two are connected. Because if David HaMelech is a monarch who's also a spiritual leader, that changes everything. Because when you're on a spiritual quest with the people, leading the people, now you're among the nation. Now you're everyone's goal is to serve Hashem. I'm going to go on in the Malbim. Shekefi hakiri begdulata bore. Right after the three dots that followed where we were up to, ki mechavdavi chubadu. Shekefi hakiri begdulata bore. It's if you forget that big pasuk at the bottom, it's third line up from the bottom. After three dots. Shekefi hakiri begdulat ha-bore, in accordance with, commensurate to, my recognition of the greatness of the Creator and His glory, u'bechvodo, u'beshiflut ha-adam ki basarhu, and the lowliness of man, including me, because we're flesh and blood, hayiti nakel be'inai, asha iti shafel be'inai be'emet. If only I could be that way. And I wish I were that low in my own eyes. As a kabeza. Then I will truly be honored. By me realizing who is the honored one, Hashem, I will be honored. Im ha'amahot. Imam a kabeza. With all the maidservants who are also just trying to serve Hashem. Kizeh kavod ha'amiti ha'nafshi. And I'm going to just skip to the last bold letters on the Malbim sheet that I handed out. It's a very important sentence here. Third line down, Im ha'amahot imam akabeda ikabda. Ki zeh kavod amiti ha'nafshi. This is the real inner honor. Asher ototav. The signs of which, yishvu lifnei sarim upchutei ha'am. The demonstration of true honor, yishvu. It's the great equalizer. Are equal for the maidservant. And the Tsar, the minister. Before Hashem, a demonstration of service of Hashem is the great equalizer. For me, for the maidservants, for everyone in between. So I know time is short here. So we see David HaMelech here as articulating his vision. Him saying, there was your father, he did things one way, but I'm not here to be a political leader alone, right? Asher bachar bi me'avich, Hashem chose my way, and inherent in that, bundled up in that package of me being leader is Asher bachar bi me'avich mikol beitol tzavoto ti nagid al am Hashem al Yisrael v'sichakti lifnei Hashem. Is my service, which today happens to manifest itself in being joyous because of the arrival of the Aron. I was chosen to be this kind of a leader who's going to serve Hashem. And I could be even more, even lower in my eyes. So my vision, David HaMelech says, of a leader is someone who's also a spiritual leader. And when I'm a spiritual leader, I am amongst and amidst the people. And he does a fine job being a monarch and being the king, as we know, fighting all the wars successfully, going out to battle, judging the nation, and doing, performing beautifully in all his roles. So successful a spiritual leader was he on this day that a Navi made a mistake, which is really very rare. I don't want to say unprecedented, but no other incidents comes to mind, where Natan HaNavi looks, he's so in awe of his David HaMelech's role as spiritual leader that he says, go build the Beit HaMikdash. Right? Immediately following this, David says, I want to build it. And Natan says, of course you're going to be the one to build it. Because inherent in the division between church and state is also the division between the spiritual and the material. As we know, Beit HaMikdash is where they meet, where both worlds meet. And here he's integrating both roles. He wants to take it to the nth degrees. I want to build the Beit HaMikdash where that all happens. And Natan makes the mistake of thinking, who better in the history of the world could do that? Joining the monarchy, spiritual leadership. And the reason I put this pasuk at the bottom is because this pasuk from the parak that we say every day from Rosh Chodesh Elul and on is, to me, really encapsulates it all when he says, he says, people are telling me that people are looking for me. They're seeking my face. Everyone's interested in me. I can take them along on the trip with me, but ultimately I'm looking for you, Hashem. And that's how he sees his role, and he integrates both of those roles together beautifully.
Thank you. Thank you.